Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Well, it's good to see you guys. Love you dearly. And we haven't got a God story this morning because I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening across the churches. And spent yesterday and the day before with many churches. And what we're finding is that, as we see here, that there are many more of us as a church. But people, because of lockdown, have got into a habit of not meeting every week. They're finding various other things to do on a Sunday. And it's just a situation where we're all calling for our people to make sure we're here every week. I mean, we've got a vision for growing churches like ours, loving churches. I mean, do you love it at The Well, guys? Come on, we're a loving family. But there has been this drift got in through lockdown, and we are planting church in Basildon, so you know that one's going really well. I think they're getting about 20 people a week, and there's about 30 involved altogether, and we really haven't advertised it too much. We just started to meet, and people are attracting in, but what I wanted, and with that, you know, our vision, we're part of a hub. So there was just us and Trinity. Now there's Upminster, Basildon, and Hatfield as well. Hatfield and Upminster were two churches that were struggling a bit, and you know, Duncan's come alongside that. So we're all in that together, and we've got a vision to plant many churches. So I know that we plant in Basildon. It won't be the last one that we plant. We want more. But what I want to do right now is honour the people. So the people that set up here, that get here at 8 o'clock in the morning, the people that do the teas and coffees, the people that do the welcome, the people that preach, that put so much effort in during the week to preach, those that do the worship, that it costs them a lot of time during the week to get ready. And pray for the youth and the youth leaders as well, that and the children's workers that prepare stuff, and it's just, we suffer when everybody's not in, when these guys prepare everything, and so many are away because of different reasons. We suffer as a church, and each I think out of respect, it's honouring that we turn up every week that we can, so that we can get back to some kind of normality. Again, it's not just us, it's across the board, and somehow we've got to address that, redress that, so that we're all pulling together. We need each other, guys. We all need to get together as one for this all to work. Are you up for that, guys? So, you know, the next thing we've got coming up is our a picnic in the park. Again, it's Sam's birthday, 30th, praise the Lord. He got there, and it's going to be just a great day out. It's going to be a great time where we come together for worship, and then we can go to the park and have a bit of fun. But it's a real great time to invite people along that might struggle a little bit to walk straight into church. But once they see us, that's our history. Once they see us all together, and then they say, okay, you're kind of normal looking people, have a bit of fun, and then they'll take the step to come into church. And so please invite people to that one. That's on the 10th. And then we're going to do barbecues around our home for each group. Please be there. Please come round. We will have a great time there, great fun. And again, it's a time where we can introduce people that we've been praying for to come along and just have a great time together. So this is how, because the thing is, we can go out on the streets. We can win people to Christ. We've shown that in this church. Virtually every week we go out, when we were doing that, we would see people give their lives. But I think that out of all of them, I think there was one person that ever came to church. And it wasn't this one. It doesn't matter really, but they did go to church. But in our culture, what we need to do is build relationship. That's when people will come back. So what I'm asking of you is to prove your faith by making relationship, sharing what Jesus has done for you. We need to be in communication with them, some way to build their trust in us, and then they will come. And if they come here, they will get saved, if that's God's will, because we do the gospel all the time. So you haven't got to do that hard work. We will do that here. But start to build them relationships and bring people in. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Okay, guys. And so we're going to continue our sermon series on modern sexuality. We're going to look at basically what the world has said sexuality and our sex and all, how it all fits together, how we should live our lives. Where is that? You know, and what compared to what God created us to be. I mean, God created us for Him, to worship Him, and everything in it is His will and purpose. But the world, I'm afraid, as we're going to see, is veering very, very far from God's best. So, today it's marriage and cohabitation. And Hebrews 13:4 says this, that let marriage be held in honour among all people. And so that means that for all people, that we are to honour marriage. We have to think highly of marriage. We are to applaud marriage. Marriage is something precious. It's from God. It's God's idea in the first place, to do us good. But unfortunately, as we see in the world, marriage has come under massive fire, opposition in all sorts of different ways. And I spoke to a guy the other night and chatted to him about the Bible. And he said, yeah, the problem is, though, things like marriage, he said, they don't really fit with today's society. You know, it's just, the Christianity is not with it now. You know, society has kind of moved on. And so it's not applicable. But actually, he's got that totally wrong. That God created us. God is a solid rock. God's word will last forever. And it's actually society that has moved away, chasing after their own desires and their own hearts. So what we want to do is address that this morning. We're going to focus much more on marriage than cohabitation. Though we are going to see a little video where two people you might recognise share their lives, where they went into cohabitation and then found marriage to be a much better answer. But one of the keys to successful marriage, first and foremost, is to have fun. It's to have fun with the whole thing. As me and Deb have found out, don't take yourself too seriously. Just have fun with the whole thing. And I heard a joke the other day that someone had said about marriage. I thought it was funny anyway. It said, first comes the engagement ring, then comes the wedding ring, and then comes the suffering. You've heard that one. Yeah. And then there's another one. Who is it? So one young couple got up in front of the preacher, the pastor, and he said to him, do you take this woman for better or worse, for richer or poorer, and in sickness or health? And the groom thought about it and he answered, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes. You had to think about that one. And so I think if you ask me and Deb, first of all is mates, okay? If anyone come to me and said, I want to get married, I wouldn't ask them, are you in love with the other person? Because they wouldn't be asking to get married if they didn't feel they was in love. It's a lifelong commitment. Are you going to commit your life to be with this other one for the rest of your life? That's where we would start with that. But the truth is, our culture is moving far, far from God's truth in so many ways, particularly marriage. And a marriage is God's best for a couple. In 1960, one survey said this, 430,000 people were living together. In 2015, 8 million are living together are not married. It's a big problem out there. But the thing is with our church, you know, we've got people here that are single, people that are divorced, people that are dating, and people that are married. But the thing is this, as the right at the start, marriage isn't the answer to the deepest yearnings of our heart. Our deepest needs inside are not going to get satisfied by another person, another human. No, the answer is living in life in close relationship with our living God. That is the answer to the deepest yearnings inside. Whatever status you're living at, whatever relational status you're in at the time, it's Christ, and move into deeper relationship with him and walking with others that will help you to walk and find a depth of Christ that gets deeper and more rich as we move forward in our lives. That's what marriage should do when with someone. And that's what being single, we're going to hear about that in a week or two's time, how singleness actually is a wonderful place to be when Christ means everything to us. When Christ, we've all got this emptiness inside that can only be filled with Jesus. And for the fatherless, for the lost, for the lonely, that can be filled with him. You'll never get that emptiness filled by anything else but Christ. And I think as I look at the various things, even in this series that we go through, but things that the modern society is trying to fill that hole with something else, and pushing us into areas that we should never have got into. But here we go. So what we're going to do now, we're going to watch a little video of a couple you might recognize that actually did try and live cohabitating, just living together, and found out that was so insecure, it was so rocky, but actually in the end they found that getting married was the answer. Married, although you have to work at it, never get married thinking you don't have to work at it. You do have to work at it. It's part of it. But with that comes stability, security, and the deeper love than you ever get from cohabitating. So are we ready for that? See if you can recognise these guys up there.
My name is Clive.
Oh, look at that.
My name is Debbie.
And you remembered it that time, didn't you?
I did.
She did. And so as I was thinking about growing up and getting married, the advice that my parents gave me was, you know, don't get married straight off. My dad didn't get married till he was about 27. And they said, kind of play the field a bit. You know, condoms were fairly new at the time. And they said, you know, just try a few. Maybe live with someone for a while first, but yeah, don't rush into it, you know, leave it till a bit later. And I really learned to know that wasn't the best advice at all. And because what I did was spent many years with someone I met at school. And yeah, I felt that I was in love at the time. And, you know, we spent many years, and then two children through it. But inside, I knew that she really wasn't the one for me for life. And we, when it came to problems and that, we would fall out, not see eye to eye. And actually, we would split up for a time, think we'd got through it. And then all of a sudden, we'd be back together again. And kind of wasted many, many years doing that and actually got hurt myself through that. And so that was my early time, no commitment. What about you, Deb? How did it work out for you?
Well, for me, it was a bit different because my parents met when they were young. They got married when they were young. And the way they were together, they talked things through. They spent a lot of time together. And it was just a marriage that I was looking forward to having one day for myself. and I did. I met somebody. We got engaged. We bought a house together, moved in. but we hadn't really figured out ways of dealing with our problems, so he got more and more moody and he got violent, and it really wasn't working out too good. So it came to a real bad end in the end for me. kind of put me off.
Yeah, and you split up then, yeah. So,
we did, yeah.
So for me, I never wanted to get married. My mum and dad, their marriage was not good. It was full of trauma after trauma, screaming, shouting, never working anything out really. And I just, to be honest, I hated the thought of getting married. I said to myself, that is something I'm never going to do. Just didn't want, any part of me didn't want it. And but that was until I went to a Christian conference and I heard a couple talk about their married life together. And it was totally different, where the guy would lay his life down for the wife and want to find out what she wanted out of life, what she wanted out of marriage. And he would do everything he could to fulfill the life that she wanted. And then when she said that she would do the same, that she would lay her life down and do everything that she could to fulfill his life and his marriage, I thought, wow, this is something I wanted. And especially when it came down to sex, that they would have a lot of sex, I thought, yeah, that's cool. I want to get married. And so, but what about you, Deb? How did that?
Yeah, for me, I mean, after coming out of a violent relationship, we haven't never spoken since. I decided, you know, I never wanted to have a relationship or even get married. I even went to stay at the convent that I'd done the accounts for a short while.
You stayed at a convent?
I did, yeah. I was going to become a nun because that was safest.
Yeah, she's a bit like a nun now sometimes. Yeah. So that was us. And but then Debbie turned up at work one day as a response to an advert I had for a secretary. And when she walked in, I thought, yeah, she's not my type. So that's cool, because I just didn't want to know relationship. I'd have a few years away, 4 years away from anything like that. And but then surprisingly, within a week to 2 weeks, I knew that Debbie was the right one for me. And what about you, Deb? How did that work out for you?
Well, after accepting the job offer, because I thought, you know, he's safe, he's not my type. I'm okay now, so to take the job. But after you went on holiday while you was away, I just knew he was the one for me and that one day we was going to get married.
Yeah, you knew that if I phoned you up from holiday,
yeah,
that I was the right one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did know that bit.
Yeah, just want to get that bit in.
Yeah. There you go. And he did.
Yeah, I did, and I just wanted to talk to her, really, and it was quite surprising. It was just hook, line, and sinker. There you go. But then what we found was that once we got back and we both decided, yeah, it's a good, we feel God's calling us to this, it took us about 4 years to actually get married. And the problem was this, is that every time we got close, there was something about each one of us that we thought, I've seen that before, and I don't want to go through that again. So we had times apart while we were engaged, and that was a difficult time. And basically all the hurts and pains that we'd been through before, we kind of had to work through it, but obviously with God. And we talked for hours and hours of our night time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. Got hardly any sleep. As we worked through stuff, but because we'd allowed ourselves to get into relationships beforehand, we had to get rid of all that baggage. And as I say, but gradually through, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we were able to do that. With God's presence, we were able to do that. And we finally got married 4 years later, didn't we? And then it became bliss ever since, didn't it?
Oh, total bliss, yes.
So really, the first 2 years was a complete nightmare. Yeah, so we never fudged that one up for people, we tell them. And the reason was this, right? I used to like the toilet seat up, and Debbie liked the toilet seat down. And when it came to the toothpaste, Debbie liked me to squeeze right from the end, and I squeezed it from anywhere. I didn't put the top on, and I didn't think it mattered. Now, I didn't think these things mattered, but actually, they do.
just a little bit.
Yeah, it didn't matter to me, but it did you. And so, yeah, we had to work through that, and it took time. But that was the first 2 years, and gradually we've learned to work things through. I've learned a lot more about Debbie and what she wants, and she does the same for me. We do try our best to lay our lives down for each other, and it works that way. You know, it's not that the woman submit to the man, as some teachings say. It's no, the woman submit to the man, because the man pays his life down for the woman. Then it works when both of you are working at it. And I've got to say, what has it been, 23 years now?
Yeah.
It seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
It does.
No. but it is the best thing, I think, we both agree, that we've ever done. It gets better as you move on in life. You get a lot more easier about things. I mean, one of the things was, when we did get married, we both thought we were easygoing. And yeah, I'm easygoing until you're in there. But then you work things out. And actually, what I found happened is that Debbie kind of smoothed off my rough edges, and I've done that for Debbie. And so it's a gradual closeness that comes over time, the agape love. And I couldn't recommend it anymore, that for people now, getting married is the best thing you can do to the right one, and stay single until you meet the right one. Would you say that, Deb?
Absolutely, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Thanks for that, guys. Oh, well, that was. Did you learn that new word there? Squoze. There you go. But yeah, that was me and Deb, and just being honest with people about, you know, cohabiting, living together. It's a very painful thing in the long run. It's very easy to slip into that, but we've lived it. And I'm not condemning anyone who's in that position now. It's just showing you what we found is a better way. And it took me to see someone like that to go, actually, that's what I want now, not what I'd actually been patterned in my life. So we can look at five reasons for marriage. Okay, first of all, it's God's idea. That's the whole point of it. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, let's make man in our image and after our own likeness. And so God created man in his own image. Both male and female, he created them. And so first of all, God out of dust created man. We're the rough old diamond. That's what the blokes are. And then he took a rib from the side of man. There's one less rib apparently now that we've got because of that. And he made woman out of that. And so the woman was refined for the second time, very different from a man. And so, but both together reflect God. That's the whole point, that in his image, they were both made, both equal, okay, different roles. They're very different, but together they reflect God. And also the fact that they reproduce, which is the whole point, that God wants children. So he bring man, woman together, and they reproduce throughout the world. And there's something in that actually reflects God. So it's not man and man. It's not woman and woman. It is man and woman to reflect God in that way, that reproduce. And then we see Genesis 2:24. When man grows up, he will leave his mother and his father and join with his wife, and they will become one flesh through sex. And that's the whole point of it. You know, supernaturally, God does something inside us to join us together, to merge our relationship. And so, again, in that reflecting of God, as we work it together,
that we should be completely never falling out, honouring each other, just like it does in the Trinity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each one submitting to each one perfectly. Never a fallout, never a bad word, perfect harmony forever. That's the pattern for marriage. And let me tell you now, it's not that easy. It takes time. It takes time. But on that road, you start to reflect that much more. Secondly, it brings the best out of each one. Each one, we need each other. And so choosing someone to be married with, it isn't a choice that I want you in my life to make my life a bit better, so you that you would make me happy. You're going to fill that emptiness that God has left inside. That can only be filled with Christ, with Jesus. No, when we get married, we're looking to join with somebody who's going to help me delight in Jesus more, who's going to help me walk my life of faith with Jesus and to know him more in our life. And so a happy marriage is one that isn't one that's inward looking, that's looking after self all the time, me, myself, I, doing what I want. We're going to do what we want, when we want, how we want, ignore the Bible, ignore what the Holy Spirit says, I'm doing it my way. There's too much of that out there. Actually, that isn't a road to happiness. That is a road to unhappiness that many of us have actually found in our life before we find the real things. No, we become happily married. We have a happy marriage when we find the right one and we work together to serve others. Our marriage becomes outward looking. We love other people. We love God first. He is at the center of our marriage. And we look out, we serve other people. We look after their lives with the resources that God has given us, with the finance God has given us, and with the gifts that God has given us. I know over the years, me and Debbie, when we got married, you know, I had nothing before I came to the Lord. But the Lord started to add. And the more I did God's work, instead of focusing on amassing stuff for myself, the more God seemed to give. And he gave us this huge house in Basildon that we're now running church from, doing business from, renting out so we can be up here as well. Everything went back to God. We're going to use it for you. We've done youth clubs up there, camping weekends up there. Now we're doing church up there. And the firm gives regularly every year 10% of what the profit is to the church. The more we've given away, the more God has given to us. And it makes us happy. It makes us happy. And the gifts that God has given us. You'll find me evangelizing, chatting to people, winning them in to come into Alpha, where Debbie's very much more a server. She'll serve people. And we used to get in trouble with her parents because of that, where they would say, well, how comes you have... Clive, you're sitting there talking to people and Debbie's running around. I said, because she's happy doing that. That's how God's wired her up. But then we find, as that process moves on, that Debbie will pastorally chat to people, especially the ladies. She met someone yesterday, a leader, come alongside them and opened them up. But because that's what Debbie's like. And so there's other gifts developing with Debbie. And then she worked with the children because she loves working with children. And so our gifts work wonderfully together when we're serving other people. This is a marriage that works really well. Outward focus, serving other people, not serving self. So it's all about that. Not joining someone who's going to make me happier, joining someone who's going to help me know Jesus more. Then we get happy. Not having a marriage to serve me, a marriage to serve other people. Then we get happy. That's when we start to smile in life. Thirdly, marriage is given as a place created where children can thrive. Okay, I've lived outside marriage, had children, and it's a complete nightmare. I know many of us have been there, so I'm not condemning anybody. I've been there, and I know what it's like when you've got blended families and you've got different fathers, different mothers, that phone call, is it all right if your son calls me dad instead of you, that kind of thing, and you have to navigate that. I've been through all that. And that's what comes through the torn relationship that come. But marriage is given as a home for the child, that the child will be protected and nurtured and surrounded by love. So they've got the same parents, constant love, the same grandparents, constant love, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends of the family, all consistently there to surround them little hearts with love, to grow them up to be mighty men and women of God. That's what they're there for, that they grow up whole. And like me, when you've grown up in a family that isn't like that, the insecurities that can come, that you never feel good enough to be anywhere, that just is birthed in you because you always feel second best, or that you don't feel fit, or that mummy and daddy are not together, and there's always carrying that thought that partly it's your fault. No, that isn't God's will. Actually, that's Satan's will, and he's done a great job of dismantling what God has created to be good. He's done a good job on that. Who knows that? I mean, we've got many single parents in this church, and who knows, it's a difficult job. I mean, it's hard enough to bring a child up on your own, with two people, isn't it? But one person on their own, it's even harder. And the thing is this, it takes more than one person to bring up a child. We know that. And so here, we embrace people. We walk with you. We encourage you. We become part of the children's life. We teach them well when they go out on a Sunday, to have fun first. That's what we teach them. Have fun, and in that, we teach them about God as well. So we walk with you for that. Psalm 68:5 says this, that God the Father is the father to the fatherless. The protector of widows is God in his habitation. So God in his habitation is at home when he's looking after lost, lonely, single people, widows. And singleness, I will say that, it's coming up, is a beautiful place to be. You know, I had years of that. You know, once I'd made all my mistakes, I thought, I'm done. I'm not having anyone. When Debbie met me, one of my friends I knew from school said, I'd had about 4 years away from any relationship. I was just with the Lord. They said, you're never going to get him, you know that. He doesn't want anybody. And I honestly didn't, because I'd grown to love being on my own, because I knew Jesus. He had fulfilled me in every way. Honestly, he did. And so I didn't need Debbie to come and fulfill me. So I was fulfilled in myself, and that's where we should be as single. We're going to find out more about that. But sometimes we find ourselves on our own. You know, Debbie's mum just lost her dad, and so she's on her own. But God says this, I'm the fatherless to you. I'm a fatherless to the lonely, the widows. He will provide. He will protect. He will care for. He will look after. He will father you, and he will father your children, and he will father your children's children. And as a church here, we will be part of that process where we father each other. We will do this together. And then fourthly, you see, marriage is, God is not a killjoy that kind of puts us in life with one person like a ball and chain around you. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be stuck with them for the rest of your life. And then there's all these rules and regulations that really limit us and kill all the fun that we have. No, marriage isn't like that. You see, marriage is for life, because it takes a lifetime to really develop that agape love, that deeper love that you need to be in, that God wants us in, that reflects his love in the Trinity. Not Eros or the other one, you know, or the passion, all that tends to go within a couple of years. It's still there, it will never go, but that won't be the driving force anymore. And not the mate's love, it's a deeper love than that. That takes years. And a marriage stops the painful breakups that tear our hearts. As I look around today, I know there are hearts that have been torn through living the way that the life out there, the world would say it's okay. No, torn relationships are not what God wants for his children. It's not good for us. Now, you see, when we get married, it prohibits some things that are not good for us. Pornography, rape, swinging, sexual abuse, one-night stands, cheating on each other. It prohibits that, and it promotes intimacy, security, peace, genuine friendship for each other, genuine love for each other, lasting love. Again, not just for you, but for your children and your grandchildren. But before we get there, let's realise that we're never going to have a perfect marriage. If ever I see someone hand in hand portraying that theirs is perfect, it worries me, because it's not like that. Yeah, there's always fallouts. There's always things we have to work through. We have here is two broken people coming together. They're never going to produce a perfect marriage. It's not going to happen. But God gives us a way that we can walk the best we can in this fallen world of ours. And it comes in Ephesians 5. It says this: wives, submit to your husband. It sounds so wrong, doesn't it? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Wives, submit. Maria's up there going, she's going, you wait till after. But it does. I mean, and let's face it, right? Ladies, who would ever, if that's all it was, who would ever want to submit to an overbearing, self-centred, lazy, self-righteous, good-for-nothing husband? Huh? All right, Dan. All right, before you get all paranoid on that one, and I get a little phone call this afternoon. Right, so who would ever want to be married to that? Yeah, you wouldn't, would you? Can we hear a big no? No, come on. You had to get that out, Nick. Yeah, no, no. Come on, with aggression. But I wouldn't. And I, as I grew up, that's all I ever heard. Well, the woman should submit to the man. My mum never did, not once in the whole life, I've got to say. You know, that's what made, it was terrible. Anyway, so, but that's all you heard, right? But that isn't the fullness of it. Ladies, which one of you would love to submit to a man who always put you first? Jesus said that men, we should lay our lives down for our wives, like Jesus laid his life down for the church. Know what he did for the church? He died for the church. A man that would give up his own life, that put your interests first, would love you first, that you know that everything he did was for your best and to grow you into the best person you could be. So you come first, your needs get met first, and the ice cream in the fridge is your favourite flavour, not his. Yeah, wouldn't you submit to a man like that? Are you going to put a yes to that, Maria? Can we hear a big yes to that? You don't sound too sure, guys, do you? So what it is, what it does mean, is the man's got to be a man. That's what it does mean. And when it goes pear-shaped, because the Satan will attack both of you, it's the man who has to stand up. It's the man who has to say, I'm sorry first. It's the man who does have to lay his life down first. But the rewards, guys, are that you will have a wife that will do anything. Now, I'm not saying that me and Debbie have got that, but I'm saying, well, we're close on it. We're much further now than we were 20 years ago. And actually, what I've found, to be honest with you, is I've really got to enjoy knowing that. So Debbie's quite different from me, very different in many ways. I don't think there's anyone else like her on earth. That's why I married her, though. But in that, it's a real joy to give up what you would want and enjoy the differences with each other. And then when you do lay your life down, you find that there are things that they will do, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, and it becomes a joy to live like that. So you lay your life down. Then it's almost like you're, who can be first to honour each other kind of thing. And guys, then it becomes fun. Then it becomes a joy. Then it becomes happy. And so I can only say that it works because it's God's plan, God's design. And let me just say that we all know people that are male to male, female to female relationships. We wouldn't call that marriage, because marriage is one man, one woman. And we're going to go, we love people like that. We don't believe they're in God's best for them. We're going to look at that. But actually, we need to preach here. What is God's best? Why? Because I want you happy. I want everybody happy in God. I want to meet God. And God says to me, Clive, you loved people, but you still spoke my word. So when that guy said to me the other day that the Bible, the church, marriage, it just doesn't apply to life today. It's outdated. Wrong. God set it out. He knew what he was doing. He designed us for that. Actually, if you're real thinking and you look at a man and a woman, you know that they fit together, you know what comes out, that's what works. It's so obvious. But today's society has veered far from the truth. It's society that has veered away, and not the Bible. The Bible will be eternally true. So all God's ways work. Can we stand? We'll have a little bit of music here. And do you know what? There were different ways I could end today. And I want to come out of this and then go back in. Guys, I want you to all support each other in this move that we're on. I know it's scary with few numbers sometimes, yeah, but we really are multiplying. We're not going to stop that. We will plant other churches, but we want this one to grow as well. So please give your life to bringing people in, getting them saved, because that is God's best for them. And we're in this together. You know, God's will and purpose is advancing. It is. That's without even Haresh and all the stuff that's going on out there. If he's online, Haresh, love you, mate. Love your family. Hamitha, Hashita. I can't remember the last child's name, but bless you, mate. But here's where I want to go, that I felt the Lord say this morning. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I believe God wants to minister to our hearts today. He wants to move upon us. That there is a work done there, because so many of us have lived the life that the world has said, okay, and we've found that it hurts. We've found that it isn't the best way. And so, if you've been broken by a divorce, just come. Let's all put our hands out. Holy Spirit, come. You know the inner recesses of our heart, Lord, how divorce tears a heart to pieces. Or we might know people that have been divorced, or it might even be that our mum and dad got divorced. And that caused pain in us. Come, Lord, I pray, minister to each one. Lord, take the pain. Take that brokenness, Lord. Take it, God. Just allow God. You've just got to have a heart that says yes. A heart that says, God, I'm open to you. And all that pain go in Jesus' name. Get out and let your love replace it, God. If you're lost, or if you're lonely right now, maybe you have lost someone recently, and that loneliness grips hold of you, that you just miss somebody. Maybe you are a single parent right now, and there's that emptiness. Allow the Lord Jesus to fill you, to fulfill that side of you, like he did with me for them 4 years on my own. I started off lonely, ended up totally fulfilled before I met Debbie. Lord, come, fill them empty hearts, fill them lonely hearts, God. Minister to us, God. Minister, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, God. And maybe you've got a marriage that is struggling, and you're going through difficulties, early years or whatever, like me and Debbie. Just say, keep going. Work through it. Realize that all the faults you see in someone else actually reveal something of the faults in us. But Lord, I pray, strengthen their marriages. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them, God. Calm in power, Lord. Let your spirit move. Let your spirit move. I just feel the Lord coming upon us now, that weightiness of his glory, of reminding us who we should be. Not broken, not torn apart, but whole. Lord, let it come. Let it come. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Lord. Come in power, God. Come in power. And Lord, all those that are single, I do pray, and the ones that they want to be married, Lord, bring the right one. Lord, give them eyes to see who it is. Like Debbie, where you just bring someone in. We live for you. Switch our mind off to that. We fulfill ourselves in you, Jesus. Then suddenly that one is there, the one you want for us. Let it happen, Lord. Let it happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think what would be good is if you find a person, two or threes, and just pray for them areas as we finish up. I mean, we could just sing a song and that. I think really to pray these things, pray for hearts. Wherever you've been torn, wherever you've been broken, just pray for that person that you're praying with, that God will come and flood in by his Holy Spirit. We're going to keep praying a bit. If we could do that now, just pray for the person next to you, near you. Thank you, Lord. Adam, do you want to go up and pray for Marie? I know you want to.